This is a session from the Renew Spiritual Leadership Conference at Lancaster Baptist Church in June of 2014.
I was with Brother Gibbs, taking a ride just the other day, not long, and we're talking about the old work ethic. He said, Brother Tim, he said, I could have caught a later flight today. I want to get back home and get some work done. You know, those 6 a.m. flights just kind of bother you, you know? Got to be there at 5. You've got to wake up at least 4. Hour to the airport, that's 3. Well, if you're on the East Coast time, that's midnight your time. I'm kind of glad to know that Dr. David Gibbs still does that. I was talking to Johnny Pope the other day. He texted me, and I was asking Brother Pope. I said, Brother Pope, I want the anointing of God upon my life. And Brother Pope, would you help me get that? I believe you have that. Here's what he said. You've got to be thirsty. You got to be thirsty. Heard Brother Chappell say it last night. Same situation. You got to want it. He said, not only do you have to be thirsty, you've got to be pure. Not only do you got to be pure, you got to be patient. I thought to myself, I hope we have that ideal. Philippians chapter 3. And look, please, at verse number 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh. What's those last two words? I'm more. I want you to think about something about the Apostle Paul. He said these words, if any man really think he has something going for himself in the flesh, I'm more. In the present day vernacular, he may say these words, I believe if we just came down to who I am and who you are, I could probably be better than you all. The Apostle Paul. Then he gives his little accolades here. I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. Sounds like Paul was just giving his own resume and showing how good he was in the flesh. Honestly, in the flesh. Listen, God did not help him do that. God did not help him do that. He did. He worked in the flesh. Bottom line, he just worked in the flesh. I know Pastor Davis just said, don't worry about those seed thoughts, but it's a subject assigned to me as far as the disciplines of a consistent walk with God. And it's just two words that I got from my Nashville, Tennessee born grandmother. And she had those southern localisms. Here's what she said. She goes, Tim, you better mind yourself. You better mind yourself. The book of Philippians is full of those same words. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And maybe today, ladies and gentlemen, there's a thought there that we need to mind ourselves. Now just stay with me because time and so forth. Mind ourselves is what discipline really means. You want to know how to have discipline in the ministry. You want to know how to have discipline in a consistent walk. You need to then be able to mind or to govern yourself. Honest question. How many here in the bus ministry? Bus ministry, wonderful. If I give you $100,000 to build your bus route to 100 this year, would you get it done? Oh, yeah. You better believe you would. Hey, Brother Anderson of Hiles Anderson came around and said, look, I'll give you $1 million. You get your church average 100 more this year. You get it done. Because we cut out the other things and maybe work a little harder over here and we remind ourselves and discipline ourselves to get the job done. Discipline. I think that's what my grandmother meant for me to understand, mind yourself. I'm not a proponent of will worship nor mind over matter, but I am willing to say that I and everyone in this room probably could do better and could do more. My son's employed here now. He was with me 10 years. We talk often. What's your conversation? Who'd you have down the aisle this week? Who'd you lead to Christ? Who'd you have over to your home? Ministry. See, busy here? Oh, Brother Chapel has my son more busy here than I had in any time in my ministry. Brother Bishop just came to me and says, thank you for sharing your son with us. I should share nothing. You don't give him back to me. I said, I've never seen him. You know what I mean? You know? I read a book 30 years ago. Man's name was Maxwell Maltz. It's called Psycho-Cybernetics. It was in the era when athletes would visualize seeing themselves play ball, and they would visualize themselves to do better. Psycho-Cybernetics. Listen to this. The book defines the mind-body connection as the core in succeeding in attaining personal goals. There is something that when you set a goal and get your mindset to do those things, even as we are well aware, Pastor Chapel, of doing so, may I say this, it just seems that we motivate ourselves to go ahead and get to that goal. To see that exercise bike and to realize I could be in better shape and I could play better with my kids and I could maybe have more energy to do in the ministry. And maybe if I just saw myself doing that, it might give me more motivation to get on the side of that bike and do what I'm supposed to do. And this is a man that, literally a brilliant man that wrote upon that. Listen to this statement. Most specified techniques to develop a positive inner goal as a means to develop a positive outer goal. And that's what this is all about, renewing our mind on the inside, that, as Brother Chapel just said, that we may have a better work on the outside. And gentlemen, may I say this, you will not ever be able to run and run and run and run and not renew yourself that you can't get the next day and run and run and run some more. He also said this, a person's outer success can never rise above the one visualized inside. Henry Ford said these words, whether or not you think you can, you're right. So I'm talking about disciplines. Disciplines. Now, I understand in a session like this, I think you're looking for the speaker to say, okay, here's what you do, and here's what you do, and here's what you do, and here's what you do. I'd rather just give you that, again, mindset for a moment. We're in the NBA Finals. We're in the NBA Finals. Can I help you out right now? NBA Finals means there's extra practices and extra traveling. The rest have gone home. Don't ever complain about extra services, extra work, extra so on. Why? The rest have gone home. Amen. It's amazing how many people today in the NBA are comparing LeBron James with good old Michael Jordan. Why? Why? Honestly, it's not upon the athleticism. It's upon his heart to win. To win. Listen. It's one of the top 100 moments in sports history. Happened in 1997. It was the final 7 games of the NBA playoffs. The Jazz were the up-and-coming team versus the Bulls. They played 2 in Chicago. Now they play 3 in Utah. It's now 2-2, and if Utah wins this one, they've got the edge, and boy, they got the momentum. It's the third game in Utah. Chicago is there. Michael Jordan gets the flu. They call it the flu game. Some believe that maybe it was food poisoning. He went to his room after the first game. He had a day of rest. What was it? He literally slept for 24 hours. Called the medical facility, and they dehydrated him and all the other things, And got that morning very, very nausea, regurgitating, being sick, headache, passing out. It said, Michael Jordan's word, it's the worst I've ever felt in my life. He missed all team practices. He missed warm-ups. He dressed himself in a private locker room in the stadium and went to Coach Jackson and just said, I'll tell you when I can't play. He only walked onto the floor after the team had gone out for the jump. He was horrible the first quarter. And he showed him reaching down and stretching his shorts, and he came back and scored 17 points in the second quarter. Went into halftime, dehydrated, got all by himself. Came out the third quarter, still with a fever, dehydrated, played horribly. Then something happened. And Michael Jordan, that game, scored 38 points, 7 rebounds, and they won the game. And here's what he said: I willed myself to win. Now listen, I willed myself to win. Can I just read, turn back there, Philippians chapter 3. Just stay with me. Genesis chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Would you look at verse number 7? But what things were gained to me, those I count a loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now just stay with me. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is after the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made formidable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I can I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the high calling. May I just reiterate some of those words in there? Just listen to these. I may win Christ. I might know him and the power of his resurrection. I might attain unto the resurrection. I follow after. I may apprehend. This one thing I do. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. He did it. He did it. He said, no. Just stay with me. I feel in our society of so much selfishness, spoiledness, and self-entitlement. We ask God to do everything that we should do ourselves. God, help me to walk with you. We have to ask God to help us, to want to spend time with him? Honestly? In Revelation chapter 3, isn't that the Laodicean age, the age of the personal rights, and this is what we have, and Jesus Christ says, I'm standing at the door and knocking, if you just let me in, can I have some time with you? And my people which are called by my name, I'm themselves and pray and seek my face. When's the last time you've gone to God, and God in your own sense of your mind says, yes, son, what do you need? What do you need, son? Nothing. Can we just spend some time together? Can we just walk? I don't need information for a sermon. I just want to spend time with you. When's the last time we sought his face? Amen. Don't we say those things, oh, God, give me burden to walk with you. Oh, God, give me burden for souls. If you just thought about hell, what's this? 10 minutes a day, you'd have burn for souls. Amen. I was not here Sunday morning, but I hear that Dr. Davis did a phenomenal job speaking about that. What was the difference? I can't say it. I would not argue with anybody. Here's Paul, a self-made man, intellect, heritage, teaching. I mean, a Pharisee. I mean, he was everything. And he did it all in his flesh. But something happened. He stumbled upon that scene outside the city where they were stoning Philip. And he watched it. And then he saw Philip maybe reach up to the skies. Father, Father. And he died gloriously. I think Paul said these words. I don't have that. I don't have that. But I want that. Oh, do I want that. God, in a matter of time, you know, on the road to Damascus, then met with him, and what a glorious thing happened. God, help me build a bus route. God, help me build a Sunday school class. And God, help me pray.
Amen.
Look up here. What happens if God was just saying, why don't you do it yourself? Hey, come on, you just said I could build a bus route, get $100, give me $100,000. You could. Why don't you do that? Hey, why don't you knock on 200 doors this week? I think if you did that, I think God would get out there with you. Hey, why don't we determine to do what God wants us to do? Why don't we determine to do what God wants us to do? And as we're in the process of doing that, I really believe God would say, you know, son, I'd like to get on that thing. I'd like to get on your study hours. I'd like to get on your soul winning time. I'd like to get in on your preparation time. Hey, you're doing all of it. I think I'll go ahead and get in your life with you. But how about us? God said, I got a universe to run. I like this. Oh, God, help me to get in better shape. Help me to quit smoking. Do you know 99% of all the people in the world quit smoking without God? Honestly? Do you understand? I'm just trying to get, I know that word is used now, it's going to frighten me, that mindset. Do not we go to God, ask him to do what God has asked us to do?
Amen.
Discipline. Discipline. Can I share just a little thought for you? This would probably be the greatest thing I could testify. I got convicted last night. I walk with God. I beg God. I spend time with him every day. I worship him. I praise him. I sing to him. And I beg him for his power. But I got convicted. So early this morning, I did have to rewrite the whole message. I went to bed about 1:30 this morning, and I get up, and I just know I need to get my mind clear, so I took a walk. I was out there about 5:15 this morning. Walked about a half a block away from the hotel. I saw Mike Ray walking, asking God for his power. I met Mike Ray 25 years ago out in the parking lot. 5:30 in the morning, asking God for his power.
Amen.
I came inside. I wanted to try to get in there and out of there before all the folks came out of the hotel room. I met R.B. Roulette early, walking with God. Oh, we want that. We want that. We want that. We want that exercise back to do all for us. It's 16 minutes after hour. That means I've got about 14 minutes left. Can I maybe just give you thought here? Pastor, how could we have disciplines for the Christian life? I'm going to give you 10 things. I want you to write them down quickly, okay? Just write them down quickly. Number one, read your Bible through every year. Read your Bible through every year. I would take that as a given. Now, maybe not, and maybe you're a lay person here, maybe you're brand new with this, but may I encourage you today, would you read your Bible through every, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God doth man live. Now, preacher, that's not our study time. And that's not our sermon preparation time. I'm just saying to take the counsel of the Word of God once a year, read it from cover to cover, or chronological, however you want to do that, but just read the Bible through. You want some discipline to have a consistent walk with God. There's no way you can read this Bible day in and day out, year by year, watch this, and not have that walk with God. Number one, read your Bible through every year. Number two, be holy. Be holy. Lester Roloff had a great impact on my life. Lester Roloff was a holy man. We don't hear much about holiness anymore.
Right. Yeah.
If you look up here, I think it'll help you. God said, be holy, for I am holy. Just pause and let that sink in. God's saying, can you help me out a little bit? Can you help me? I created you because I wanted to be close to you. I created you because I wanted to love you. I created you because I wanted you to love me. So God tells you, can you do something for me? Can you be holy? Because that's who I am. And gentlemen and ladies, watch this. The only common ground we can ever share with God is holy ground. See, we want God, and doesn't our modern society want to bring God down from heaven and to be on our level and let him be the man upstairs, let him be the old good old buddy. No, he's God. He's God. And he says, I am holy, so I've got to have you be holy like me so we have the common ground to spend together.
Right.
And boy, you walk with God on the mountaintop, you will be disciplined. Number one, read your what? Talk to me. You read your what? Number two, be... Number three, don't think yourself above. Don't think yourself above. Just tell my deacons this point. What do you mean? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he... The chapel said today, we're going to talk about the work tomorrow, we're going to talk about the worker today. But if the worker doesn't stay in the ministry, we can't get the work done. A lot of my heroes no longer do what I do. Some of my greatest mentors cannot walk behind the pulpit again. That grieves me. And if you ever thought to yourself, well, bless God, I'm still in, I hope you change that attitude. Boy, the older I get, the more forgiving I am. Hey, when you have David Gibbs on your speed dial, you know you're in the ministry. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here's what happens. This man that I admired and I never idolized, but I and don't you ever idolize man. I'll tell you what, I love Paul Chappell. I do. I love Paul Chappell. But I know this. Paul Chappell loves me. We have spent time together. We have prayed together. We have wept together. We have gone through his heartaches together, my heartaches together. He's had multi-million-dollar losses. So have I. He's had tragedies. So have I. May I just say, we are very, very, very close. But he's just a man. Jack Hiles was just a man. And you start idolizing man. If they fall, you give yourself an excuse to get out yourself. Paul said, follow me as I follow. Christ. Paul was never the look upon. It was the Christ after him. And I don't know about you, but I hear about these great men that are no longer in the ministry. I say these words. They were so much more character than I was, and so much more knowledgeable than I was. And they had the Christian upbringing than I never did. And I said, God, if they're all fallen, why in the world haven't I fallen? And he says the same things, because you know you can, Tim. See, when you don't think you can, it's when you don't think you'll ever get out of the ministry. It's when you don't ever think you'll quit. It's when it comes. Number one, read your what? Number two, be. Number three, don't think yourself above, all right? Number four, have guest preachers and accountability. You know what I like about Lancaster? Last Saturday, this place was a busy beehive. Do you know why? Because everybody was coming. Who's the host here, right? Where's the host here? He's right outside there. Did you see Brother Christensen last night? I'm good. Brother Christensen? Brother Christensen stood up and gave us that announcement, you know, all this other stuff. I looked at him. I could barely see his eyes. I thought, you know who needs renewal? The family of Lancaster Baptist Church. They're the ones that have been working around the clock all this time. I thought they need to have this conference more than anybody else. Hey, when you have a guest, you make sure you're on top side. It's when you stop having guests, you stop your accountability. Hey, could Paul Chappell visit your church tomorrow? Would you have to get a lot of things ready before he got there? Would you have to change anything in your office? I mean, I just say, it seems as the older pastors get, they have less people in because I don't think they really want to see what the ministry is all about. Number one, read your Bible. Number two, be holy. Number three, don't think yourself above. Number four, have guest preacher for accountability. Number five, keep your heroes. Keep your heroes. Don Sis is a hero of mine. I love that old guy. I really do. I just talked to him before, and we talked to him. I was in Korea with Brother Sisk, and they have Itaewon. I think it's the name of the place. It's a 24-hour shopping place. It's acres and acres and acres. It's 24 hours a day. It's a major, major shopping place. And we were there at probably 1 o'clock in the morning. He went into a leather jacket place. He got a leather jacket. And I said, Brother Sis, my wife has been, Brother Sis, you look sharp. You look sharp. He goes, I do. I said, be careful. I said, you know, your wife's not with you. He goes, I know, but this, it looks good. Then it does. The very next day, we had to take a tour. We got on a tour bus. All of our group got on first. Brother Sister was sitting up front. He's sitting by himself. Another tour, came in, and they got on the bus. Two ladies sat next to him. I looked at Brother Sister. He goes, it's the jacket. It's the jacket. I went and bought one myself. Amen. You know? How do you do it 60 years? But you keep heroes like that. I'd hate to disappoint Don Sis. Read your Bible. Be holy. Don't think yourself above. Have guest preachers. Keep your heroes. Number six, take your family with you. Gracie, my wife and I do together is visit. Hospital calls. I let a man Wednesday dying of AIDS, led me to Christ. He came to church Sunday morning for the very first time. Heard me preach the message, church works, church works, church works. It's our 60th year anniversary and church works. Our church's 60th anniversary, not my 60th anniversary, just to let you know that, okay? I'm like Sam Davis, I'm that old, feel good. I thought it was great when my wife would just stand there and watch me witness to a man that I think she'd understand there'd be some complications maybe. Gentlemen, I said, if you don't take your wife with you, you're not going to enjoy the ministry. Amen. And how many have we seen step out? Yeah. Honestly, my greatest relationship outside my walk with God, my greatest joy on this earth is being married. Amen. And you need to hear that. Because this day and age, generation, whatever, just doesn't work. Well, just start over. No. Well, you got a good marriage. Don't tell me that. My dad was married 4 times. My mother's married 3 times. My last stepfather murdered my mother, shot her 5 different times, committed suicide. Don't tell me about good marriages and bad marriages. All there is a basket of marriages. And what you do with yours determines what basket goes into. Yeah. You want to have a good marriage, you'll have a good marriage. You want to have a bad marriage, you'll have a bad marriage. But it's your decision. And my wife and I was just investing in our relationship. Why? Because we want a good marriage to show our children that marriage is the greatest thing to have. Amen. Got to take your family with you. Number 7. Write it down. Visualize your life without ministry. I asked my staff to write a letter. And the letter is entitled, Life Without My Wife and Family. Can you look up here? I'll help you out. We live in such an immediate time frame. We look at this right here. I'm going to leave my church because of this. I'm going to leave my marriage because of this. I'm going to forsake my family because I'm going to quit college because of this. But hold on here. Why don't you look at this? I understand individual situations can get very tough. Boy, every preacher knows that. But 10 years down the road where my kids get married and they have to have a picture on this side with this set of parents and a picture on this side with this set of parents and they have nothing to do with that. And my grandkids got to go to this house over here, and they got to go to this house over here. Then I got Thanksgiving over there, I got Thanksgiving over there. My kids grew up, here's what they told me. Dad, we have a boring family. We only get one Christmas and one Thanksgiving. We only have one house. Amen. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't get up Sunday morning and preach. I don't know what I'd do. It's what God created me to do. Have you ever thought about that? You want disciplines for a consistent walk? Think what it'll be like not to have it. And the job that you're kind of begrudging right now, I'll tell you what, someone else would love to have it. They would love to have your buildings. They love to have your ministry. They love the excitement to go to work every day. They would love to have it. Read your Bible. Be holy. Don't think yourself above. Have guest preachers for accountability. Keep your heroes. Take your family with you. Visualize life without ministry. Listen, figure out who you are. And live it. Can I help all of you? I'm not Paul Chappell. We hear a great statement by Johnny Pope. The greatest day of my life, Johnny Pope said, was when I figured out I wasn't Jack Hiles. You come here, and you should be, and you're enamored, and this is great, it's wonderful. I'm not Paul Chappell. I'm not. And I love him. And he loves me. But I tell you what, you'll start kind of cutting corners, things like that, just to try to get some, like, what, numbers and people? Is that what it is? Is that what you ask everybody? How many are you running? Are we enamored with that? But it's the same way in the Bible. Who shall sit on the right hand of God? And, you know, and who will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We haven't really evolved too far, have we? I really don't like people who have big days on this last Sunday, so they come here and say, oh, yeah, we had 814. What did you have last Sunday? We had 82. Oh. Learn how to ask the right questions, okay? Good. Just read them off. Number 9, remember that's where God puts you. You know, I love Chico, California. I've been there 26, nearly 27 years. I've had a wonderful time there. We've seen great, great, great results, and God has blessed in many ways. And you know, so that's where God put me. I'm not from California. I'm from the state of Ohio, and I never thought I'd live in California. That's where God put me. Sometimes I ask this question, God, what am I doing here? And God says, I put you there.
Amen.
Moses on the brink of the Red Sea, mountains on this side, mountains on this side, Pharaoh behind me coming. I think Moses saying, God, what am I doing here? And God said, I put you there.
Amen.
I put you there. Why? Because watch what I'm going to do with you.
Amen.
Don't you get out before God manifests himself presently before all others. Last one, just the title of our sessions today is just renew, just renew. Number 1, read your what? Number 2, be. Number 3, don't get above yourself. Number 4, have guests. Number 5, keep your what? Good. Number 6, take your family with you. Number 7, visualize life without ministry. Number 8, figure out who you are and live it. Number 9, remember God put you. Number 10, renew. You do have to disconnect a little bit so you connect well. Father in heaven, it's a short session. So much can be said, and so many other people could say it a whole lot better. But sometimes really think, when I look up and I pray, God help me, I think you say sometimes, you can do that, son. You can do that. You can go soul winning. And you can preach, and you can study, and you can stay up, and you can get up early. You can do those things. I really think, like, when you saw all those disciples in a boat toiling in the storm, I think that was good for them. And then you came alongside, and boy, a miracle happened. These are good folks here today. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm preaching to the best. That's why they're here. But, Father, may they mind themselves, discipline themselves to do greater works for thee. For Christ's sake, I pray, thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you very much, y'all. Smith.